Hello and welcome back to this verse-by-verse Bible teaching ministry where we teach the entire books of the Bible in all their entirety in a verse-by-verse format. We do this so that we cannot leave anything out, nor can we cherry-pick that which God would want to us to speak about. And by doing verse-by-verse, we touch on every subject that there can be, and we believe that this is the most effective way to properly prepare the church, not only for the trials and tribulations of life today, but for what we feel is coming in the near future as our society is turning against God more and more. And so my name is Matthew, and my wife Victoria and I, we run the Wash and Word. It's a hand car washing business located in Church Hill in the Palace Shopping Center. There you can listen to this message and the other messages that air on this radio station. We play them on a loop. They transmit about as far as the parking lot. So if you wanted to come by and get your car washed or just simply sit in the parking lot, you can hear this and other messages from this week. They play on a loop during open business hours. We are on this radio station at 8:30 Monday through Friday. And you can also go to our website, washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. There you can find out all the information about our business. You can schedule a mobile detail there. And of course, all of our messages that we preach are archived free of charge to download or listen to from that website. So we're picking it up in John chapter 4. We just finished discussing the theological part of this chapter. And that, of course, is the part of dealing with the woman at the well and the conversation that Jesus had there. And just by way of quick recap, really just to summarize everything is, you know, we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we do this by constantly taking pit stops at the cross, by putting aside our busy lives, putting up the sins and the stinking thinking, and just going before God as often as we can and just surrendering our lives each and every day and letting the Spirit of God cleanse us and letting God direct our paths. And we do this so that we can have the full life that John 10:10 speaks about. We also do this because we want to please our Lord, and the best way to please Him is to be obedient to Him. And so we talked about how that, you know, during this conversation with this woman that he had there, one of the things we first mentioned was how everything just so happened to go through perfectly to set up this conversation with this woman. Like in verses 4-8, you know, it just so happened that the Pharisees forced Jesus to leave Judea, and it just so happened that he had to go through Samaria to get to Galilee, and it just so happened that the first city he came across there just happened to be where his human ancestors trod, and it just happened to be the sixth hour, and then there just happened to be a Samaritan woman who just happened to be needing some water at the time, and his disciples just happened to be in town buying food. And the reason I brought all that up was, you know, one of the most important points we made in the first half of this chapter is that there are no accidents or coincidences, no accidents when you're an obedient follower of Christ. Everything God is doing, He's arranging for a reason. And boy, that is so hard sometimes because, you know, we just can't understand some of the stuff that happens in our lives. But as a full surrendered Christian, we've got to get to that point. You know, part of worshiping Christ in spirit and in truth, you know, not worshiping Him in certain churches or certain denominations or a certain Bible translation or a certain location or even a certain day and time, but worshiping Christ with our lives, with everything that we are, anywhere that we are at any time, spirit and truth. And that's what Christ is trying to get us to. And, you know, these pit stops and roadblocks often are there to steer us to the place that God wants us to go. And, you know, we have to be submissive, I guess is the word I'm looking for. Let God do the work that He's trying to do in your life. And with all those just so happens that we looked at as beginning of this chapter, we pick it up in what we call the more narrative part of chapter 4. And in verse 27, it just so happens that his disciples return. And now we're going to see the fruit of that conversation Jesus had with the woman. Verse 27 says, "Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, 'What do you want?' or 'Why are you talking to her?'" So we'll stop right there. These disciples, they come back. It says they just then. So like his disciples were gone just long enough for this conversation to take place. And I love verse 27 where it says, "Just then his disciples returned." Everything is a perfect timeline with God. And as I read verse 27, this thing that stuck out to me is the application point that says this: the moment you step out of your comfort zone, all bets are off. The moment you step out of your comfort zone, all bets are off. And I got to that because the moment that they stepped into Samaria, they knew things were different. You know, when you get out of your comfort zone, you can't follow the same paths that you've been following. That's the whole point of God trying to get us into a different area of our lives or into a new level of Christianity, to get us out of our comfort zones. And the problem is we can't be moved into a new level of Christianity or a higher, a higher level of our spirituality if we're still doing things the way that we are used to doing them. The moment you step out of your comfort zone, the moment God calls you a little higher, things are going to be different. All bets are off. You can't rely on that which you used to rely on. I'm going to confess something I'm not proud of here. I am a Miami Dolphin fan. And as a Miami Dolphin fan, you know, we've suffered a lot. We had glory years back in the day, but it hasn't been fun. And but we have this new coach and a new regime has set in, and he's bringing in a new mentality to locker room. And, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with all this, but if I'm going to stay a diehard Dolphin fan, I've got to trust that these leaders, that this coach knows what he's doing. I can't rely on the same material or the same stats that I used to look at to determine whether they're going to be good or not. You know, this is a new regime. It's a new comfort zone, so to speak. And you just got to trust sometimes that it's going to work out. And with God, you know, it's always going to work out. And so when we step out of our comfort zone, when we step into Samaria, as it were, and we speak to a woman, you know, things that aren't normal for this day and time, we don't look at our track record. We don't look at the things that we used to do that worked or didn't work. We simply trust the Lord that he's moving us in the right direction and that we're on the right route. Verse 28, "Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people," let me stop right there before I even say what she says. And a second application point of this brief message: once you truly meet Jesus, your temporal securities diminish. And isn't that true? Once you truly meet with Jesus, once he's really your savior, your temporal securities diminish. You no longer put stock in the things that you had your faith in. This woman dropped her jar. It was the reason that she went to the well, but she no longer needed the jar. I love that little bit. You know, you can overlook it so quick. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town. She didn't need her water jar anymore. There's a new water in town. She left her old dependencies and she ran off to become essentially the first Samaritan evangelist. And so, you know, when we meet Jesus, our old dependencies, we don't need them anymore. Our temporal securities, they diminish, if not totally disappear. And so verse 29, we read what she says: "Come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ?" We'll stop right there. So each verse has given us an application point so far. Verse 27, the moment you step out of your comfort zone, all bets are off. Verse 28, once you truly meet Jesus, your temporal securities diminish. And now her running back to tell everyone what happened. And verse 29, a salted testimony negates past reputation. Now this one will take a little bit more explaining. Assaulted testimony, not salty, assaulted testimony negates past reputation. And what I mean by that is she salted her message when she ran back. Come and see a man who told me everything I did. Could this be the Christ? Her message was now flavored with what Jesus calls the salt of the earth, the flavoring of the Christ. You know, she salted her message, and I mean, she was certainly of no social value. She had no social respect whatsoever. But guess what? The old was being replaced with the new, because that is what Jesus does. You know, people that knew me in my teens or in my 20s, they did not receive my, hey, I found Jesus speech right away because I had a reputation. But as I grew in the Lord, I salted my message. In other words, it came from my heart. My eyes began to tell a truth that my words couldn't quite say. Salt in cooking terms is added to something that already exists. And when you add Jesus to something that's already there, you are salting your testimony, and it tends to negate the past reputation or the blandness of your former life. The salt and the life, light rather, of the world is what we're called to be. I had a truth change in my life, and I had a renewal in my life, just like this woman did. And all of the past reputation just got diminished because my words were salted with the joy of the overflow of my heart. And that's what Jesus does. He changes your heart and your actions. And out of the overflow of your heart, you reveal your soul. And so you salt your testimony, and it just gets rid of so many of your past sins. And in verse 30, we'll look at one more application point. It's four application points in four verses. Verse 30 says, so they came out of the town and made their way toward him. And the final application point for us here is that Jesus came for us, but we must go to him. Jesus came for us, but we must go to him. And just as she left her old reliance of drawing water, the town left their comfort zone to go and see. So you look at these four verses. Jesus came to seek and to save, and he did this with the woman. Then the woman went, and then the town came. And this is the Great Commission long before it was even given by our Lord. Jesus comes, he seeks us out, and then he stands at the door and he knocks. And then we open the door and we let him in. And we are renewed and we are refreshed. And then we go and we tell others with the salt of our message. And then in turn, others come. And on it goes. This is the method that Christ is doing with this woman at the well. This is the method that he wants to use for you and I. This is the fruit of verses 1 through 26, the conversation of this woman at the well. Here is the fruit that Jesus comes, he seeks us out, we open the door, we let him in, we are renewed, we go get others, and then others come. And man, it's been working for over 2,000 years, and I guarantee you, there's no better method than to just speak to the people that you know with the overflow of the heart change that Jesus has done. That will salt your message, and it will overcome all of the things that you're not capable of doing. Maybe you're not a good public speaker. Let the salt overcome your shortcomings. Well, tomorrow we'll pick it up here in verse 31, and we thank you for joining in. Look forward to seeing you at the Wash and Word, where we can come wash your car. That's how we earn our money to pay for this ministry and this business. And we just hope you have a blessed day in Christ.